I'm Magnolia McKay, filling in for Khalil Ekalona, and this is Nashville. I know, you usually hear my name at the end of the episode, but they let me host today. And we'll see if they ever let me do it again, because I'm bringing you an entire show about breasts. You've got them, or you like them, or maybe neither, but they're a big part of life for a lot of us. The fun part, where you dress them up in satin or lace, and a really important part, where you nurture a new life with them. When it comes to bras, I was lucky to have a sister a few years older to pave the way for me. When I was about 10, our mom took her shopping to get a light blue training bra, and I wanted one too. Not that I would need it for several years to come, but I looked up to her, and I started wearing my swimsuit top under my clothes just so I could feel more grown up. The lingo has changed. Back then, I was a preteen looking forward to a training bra, and now we have tweens that are more likely to wear something called a bralette. But what hasn't changed, according to mommy message boards, is the eagerness a lot of young girls feel to wear this garment. Decades later, I'd love to time travel and tell a younger version of myself to enjoy the bra-free life while I still could. Now, our first stop in this wonderful world of boobs is to Rebecca's Lingerie for a fitting. To the bra store! I walk into Rebecca's Lingerie, a bright storefront in the Green Hills area. There are busty mannequins in the window dressed in colorful bra and panty sets, and racks upon racks of lingerie. Not an inch in this small storefront is wasted.
Hi!
Hey.
You Adrienne?
I am.
Adrienne Francis is the owner at Rebecca's. She looks like she could be Sheryl Crow's biker chick cousin. She shows me to a fitting room in this clean, well-lit shop.
Now, do you like a wire or no wire?
I typically wear a wire.
She has me take my shirt off to find my band size with a measuring tape. That's under the breasts around the rib cage.
Okay. Go ahead and yank the shirt off.
Normally, taking my clothes off in front of a stranger under fluorescent lights would be awkward, but Adrienne is so relaxed and quick that I feel like I'm just hanging out with an old friend.
Now, do you want to stay smooth like this bra? Or do you want to go all lace
the
cut?
The reason I wore this one is because it's basically the only bra I have anymore that I feel like kind of fits me or like isn't uncomfortable.
Okay, gotcha.
But I also feel like it's probably not even the right size anymore.
Yeah.
I do feel kind of self-conscious about how long it's been since I had a fitting 4 years ago.
You measure 34, so that's what this bra is.
But Adrienne is completely unfazed. She does this every day, and she knows her inventory.
Okay.
Each bra fits a little differently from style to style and brand to brand.
Right. So that's what makes it so fun.
Yep.
Okay, I'll be right back.
Okay.
Adrienne returns with a pastel blue bra and helps me into it.
Okay, so it's going to slide it on the front. I'm going to fasten you up in the back. It's weird having somebody back here helping. Does it feel a little snug?
She knows all the questions to pinpoint the right size for me.
I think I'm also changing where
gotcha.
I'm like starting to enjoy a looser
fit
sometimes.
Okay,
too,
well, let's go up a band.
Okay.
Okay, I'll be right back.
She returns with the same bra, one band size up.
Let's go.
It almost feels like I'm not wearing a bra.
And that's what we want.
That's good.
The bra feels great, and she brought it to me in no time. Only 4 minutes after measuring me, I'm wearing the best bra of my life. Who knows how long it would have taken me if I was searching on my own. Adrienne knows bras like a sommelier knows wines, or a seasoned mechanic knows exactly why your car is making that grinding sound.
And you can tell the difference right away.
Seriously. Honestly, it feels weightless. I'm like...
Yeah, it's like
yeah.
A whole new world.
Exactly. I was
going to
go, I believe I can fly. But
yeah, exactly.
Saying.
Yeah, it's totally. Yeah,
I will.
Adrienne says that a lot of people are wearing the wrong size bra. And this isn't a fashion preference like wide leg versus skinny jeans. The wrong bra can cause headaches, back problems, and other health issues. Oprah Winfrey has done her part to broadcast the message that yes, you do actually need to be properly fitted for a bra. And Adrienne sees a spike in customers each time bra fittings make the headlines. She brings me a few more styles to try on, and one of them is an instant winner.
This is cute.
Back on the sales floor, I find the one I like and the rainbow of colors that it comes in.
There's red. There is
this gorgeous lilac color. There is... I'm like a kid in a candy store, especially since I'm overdue for a few bras that fit me.
I've been in a bra drought. It's time to usher in a new era of bra wealth.
Evidently, this feast or famine rotation that I'm on is pretty common. Adrienne tells me that a lot of her patrons come in about once every 2 years. That's about the lifespan of a bra. Like any piece of clothing, they eventually wear out. And that's when they come back to Rebecca's.
And they're like, oh my God, I just need new bras.
Yeah.
And they'll get, you know, 3 or 4. And, you know, then we won't see them for about another 2 years. Year and a half, 2 years.
But she has a system for that. Keeping all her customers' style preferences and size on file. She has an impressive stock in the store, carrying sizes from a 28AA to a 56H to a 52O and everything in between. Now it's decision time.
You know, it's really hard for me to say no to a red bra.
I leave with 2 bras and 1 on order.
Okay, MCKAY.
We take for granted that when it comes to a hairdresser or a mechanic, you've got to find someone you trust. But even though about half the population will wear a bra for most of her life, it's still a fairly hush-hush topic.
Thank you.
All right, y'all have a good rest of your day.
You too.
Take care. All right, bye,
bye-bye.
Y'all. Have a good one.
You too.
Leaving Rebecca's, I feel truly fortunate to have found a guide for something so intimate and specific. All right, when we come back, we'll talk with Adrienne Francis in studio and a local lingerie designer. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Is love so fragile and the heart so hollow? Shadow with words impossible to follow. Saying I'm fragile, trying not to be a search only. Something I can't see.
What a rare treat to get to hear Magnolia McKay's voice on the airwaves and on such a fun topic. I'm Alexis Marshall here in the studio with Zaya Miller, and I just love hearing somebody building a scene in radio. It's really something that you only get on public radio on 90.3, just really giving space for these scenes to breathe and really immersing you in that. And also like such an intimate experience that like a lot of people probably never get to experience. So thanks to Magnolia McKay for bringing that scene to us on This Is Nashville. You're listening to it on your local public radio station, and it is our spring fun drive. Time is running out for you to give during this spring fun drive, so I'm going to encourage you to do that right now at WPLN.org.
Time is running out for you to get your name on the board during this spring fun drive. We want to make sure that we have heard from all of you around Middle Tennessee. As I was listening to Magnolia's kind of great coverage there, it really struck me when, you know, they mentioned that there are so many young girls that are just really excited to have their very first bra. That's like a rite of passage.
Yeah, like a milestone.
It is a milestone. And just like that particular milestone in my life, I remember when I first gave to public radio as well. I was in college and it was not a lot. I think it was $35 because that's all I could do in college. But I made that gift. I made the decision. It was during a spring fundraising campaign, I believe. And I stepped up and I called and I made the gift. And so now I'm asking you to make that same first memory of giving to public radio. So go online, go to WPLN.org, choose an amount, even if it's just a little amount, because you're in college and you don't have a lot to give, or you're working your first job and you don't have a lot to give. Or if you are well established in your career and you do have a lot to give, give right now at WPLN.org.
I was also a college spring fund drive first time giver down in Murfreesboro, and decided to give, I think, just $10, a one time gift. And I ended up becoming a sustaining member. I'm still a sustaining member, even as an employee, because I believe in the work that we do here. I do want to sort of piggyback on what you said about if you're well established in your career, you know, your giving evolves with time and with your life. So if you've gotten to a place where you're doing pretty well and you want to maybe give it a leadership level, I'm going to suggest becoming part of our producer's circle. Our producer's circle are givers who give on a monthly basis $100 or more, or a one-time gift of $1,200 or more. You can emphasis on the or more. If you're ready and willing to give more, you certainly can. It is really a philanthropic level of giving. It helps us really plan into the future, be creative and strategic about what we do. It can help us fund bigger projects, bigger ideas. And we've been doing a lot of those lately. We would like to do more of them. So if you would like to become part of the really powerful group of donors that can help us achieve that, join them at the Producer Circle at WPLN.org, and we would appreciate it.
Absolutely. We got a gift just a little while ago from Shayna in Nolensville, and she left us this amazing comment. We love your comments. Please keep sending them on. So she says, I support WPLN because I am entertained and educated and interested in the challenging conversations that discuss multiple sides of a topic. It's wonderful to have a source for content that expands my brain. My mom loved it, and now I love it. I love that. I love that Shayna is at least second generation public radio listener, and that she listened with her mom, and that it challenges her, and she gets to hear both sides of topics, and that she gets to hear stuff she doesn't get to hear necessarily anywhere else. I don't know where else you are going to get a show talking about bras and breasts, and like, that's unique, and it's from the perspective of people in your community that are right here, that live in Nashville, that you may be shopping in her store, you may be going through this, you may be taking your own young daughter through buying that first like piece of underpinning that makes her feel all grown up. Give to public radio. Help this station stay strong going into the future. The time to give is right now. The number to give is 615-760-2010, and the website is WPLN.org.
I'm Magnolia McKay, filling in for Khalil Ekalona, and this is Nashville. Before the break, you heard me visit Rebecca's Lingerie in Green Hills for a bra fitting. I remember my first fitting. I was 22 years old, shopping with my mother for a strapless bra to go under my wedding dress, and I was shocked to learn that I'd been wearing two whole cup sizes too small. Turns out guessing is an unreliable system of measurement, and it's uncomfortable. Here to continue our education on this crucial support garment is the woman you just heard fitting me, Adrienne Francis. She's the owner of Rebecca's Lingerie, and joining her is Stephanie Kerr, owner and designer at Dottie's Delights, a limited-run lingerie brand handcrafted here in Nashville. Adrienne, Stephanie, welcome to This is Nashville.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Hi.
So, Adrienne, our listeners just heard you fitting me at your shop. It's clear you know your bras. Tell us how you became the owner of Rebecca's Lingerie.
Well, I grew up in the lingerie world with it being my great aunt's store. So I was running around at an early, early age, and then started working for her about 15, 16 years. And then she retired 11 years ago. And then my cousin and I took over the store and then have been doing it ever since. So I had it now for 11 years. And then so collectively, we've been in business for 45 years.
So tell me about your great aunt. Why did she open the store?
She originally opened the store because she and my other great aunts and my grandmother were just fuller figured women, fuller busted, just big boned, just big women. And she could not find any lingerie to fit them or accommodate them. And so when she originally opened the store, that was what she wanted to focus on, was the fuller busted and the heavier set woman. But then as she opened it, a couple of years in, every other person that came into the store was just kind of your typical size, your 36C, your 36DD. And then so she soon realized that she needed to carry all of the, quote, regular sizes, and because they couldn't get a proper fit either. And so then she started carrying all the other sizes in between.
Stephanie, at Dottie's Delights, you design and create vintage-inspired lingerie. How did you get started?
I went to school for fashion design in New York at FIT and school there in the City of Chicago. And I just always really liked vintage things. I like working small and intricate. And it was just kind of the perfect little niche for me. I felt like everybody does dresses, so I was going to be the complicated person that was going to do lingerie.
That's a lot of, especially if you're talking about like intricate, it's a lot of work for something that people aren't necessarily going to see.
It was definitely a bigger challenge, I think. But I was working with a lot of burlesque performers. I did that for my like senior collection. It was a Dante's Inferno inspired burlesque fashion show. And my sister's a belly dancer. So I was working with a lot of performers as I was making that transition. And it just seemed like a fun little niche to explore.
Yeah. So how long have you been doing Dottie's Delights here in Nashville?
Well, I started in Chicago in 2009, but I moved here in 2015. So I brought the business with me. It was definitely a little bit of a, you know, it took a little bit to get my feet on the ground here, but I've been over in the 100 Taylor Arts Building ever since then. So,
you know, here we are talking about this very visual thing, but we are doing audio, but I know you brought some of your garments with. Yeah. Will you show us and then maybe describe for our listeners some of your pieces?
Yeah, I would love to. So one of the pieces I brought is kind of a sample that I've been working on. This one's a 32F or 38F, sorry. So it's really one of the more full busted, and just seeing the difference in the construction to really make that projection. It really is like making a bridge, right? Like it's bridge engineering to make this tissue stand up against gravity. So I use really vintage appropriate materials. So it's a Chantilly lace. I also do this little like bow section in the front, which is kind of a reference to the bras of the 1950s, where they would actually do the seaming to get the projection and get that little pointed bullet bra shape.
Oh yeah, that really iconic, like mm-hmm. like Marilyn Monroe, like sweater.
Yeah, sweater girl. Like, yeah, yep, yep.
Yeah. For listeners at home, Stephanie has brought this beautiful, delicate, like black lacy, full cupped bra in. It's really pretty.
It's definitely something that like is worth being seen. It's not the kind of 1950s bras that you would imagine, you know, all boring and surgical looking. This has like a big, nice, lacy edge to the décolletage. It's really delicate, but super supportive. The difference between, I think, this, in my opinion, the sad transition to like those foam cups really doesn't give the kind of support and just the support that you need. And I know Adrienne's here shaking her head too.
I was going to say, Adrienne, weigh in. I know you have opinions on this.
Oh, yes. You know, from everybody moving to the smooth cut bras for t-shirt bras and no seams and God forbid if a nipple shows, you know, the seamed cut bras really do give more support than the smooth cut bras. By far, you know, contrary to everybody's belief, you know, we get a lot of people in that says, you know, oh my gosh, the lace is going to rip, it's going to tear, it's not going to hold up. Well, yes, it does hold up if you get good quality, and it's going to give you way more support than a smooth cut bra, and it just gives you more definition, you know, between your breast and your waist. It just gives you way more support. And it also brings you in on the sides so your breasts don't go underneath your armpit. So the lace and the seaming are there for a reason, and that's the reason. It gives you the support. It gives you the lift. And it just, it gives you a far better look in your clothing.
Yeah. I mean, so how many bra fittings do you think you've done in the last?
Oh, God. I've been doing it for 26 years. So, I mean, that's a lot.
Yeah. How many do you think you do a week?
Probably at least 50 or 60 a week, I would say, give or take.
Wow. Yeah. So that's
thousands.
Yeah. Yeah. Lots and lots.
Yeah. Consummate professional.
Yes.
What do you hear most common when you're doing a bra fitting with customers?
Just how their neck, their back, their shoulders are hurting, the pulling, the aching, how their bra straps are digging. And it is just the craziest thing that as soon as you get the proper fitted bra on that customer, just almost instantly, they're like, oh my God, this feels so much better. Just them being lifted feels like 100% better. I can already tell a difference right away.
It's literally taking weight off your shoulders.
Yes, literally taking the weight off your shoulders. And then, you know, I'll tell them, you know, hey, put your shirt on. See what you look like in your clothes. And then they go, oh my gosh, look how much smaller I look. Well, it's, you know, everything is lifted. And, you know, it does make you look smaller whenever you're in the proper fit. And it makes your clothes look better. I mean, it makes everything look better. And you feel better.
Yeah. Can you tell, like, I mean, through people's clothes, can you tell right away when someone's wearing the wrong size?
Oh, yes. It's almost like a party trick. I mean, people will come in and they'll say, oh, I'm a D. And they're clearly not a D. They're, you know, a triple D or a G. And I'm like, no. And so I'll get them in and they're going, oh, my God, I'm a G. I'm an H. I'm like, yes. And I said, but don't fixate on the size. Fixate on how you feel and look in your clothes. And then they kind of, some of them get over it. Some of them kind of get stuck on it. But for the most part, they get over it fairly quickly.
Yeah. So for listeners at home who might be hearing this and might be thinking, oh, I wonder if I'm wearing the wrong size. Like, what are some clues?
So a couple of the biggest clues are if you have what I call the double bubble, if you have, you know, two extra breasts where you should only just have two, if you're wearing an underwire bra, if that underwire is digging into your actual breast tissue, that should be behind your breast tissue and actually on your rib cage, not resting on your breast tissue. If your bra is riding all the way up your back, it shouldn't ride up your back. It should be a straight line around your torso. If you're wearing a non-underwire bra, kind of the same thing, the double bubble, the bra riding up your back. And just if you're experiencing neck, back issues, that pain, that pulling, and just ultimately no support. And, you know, those are kind of the telltales that, you know, you need to come in and get refitted or just plain fitted properly.
Well, and here's a question. This is for both of you. Do we need to wear bras or is it just something that our culture is used to?
I mean, I think there's a lot of personal preference to it for sure. I mean, we're talking about the whole, like, the t-shirt bra because God forbid we have a nipple. Like I, if that's the reason, the only reason you're wearing a bra, I think that's unnecessary personally. However, again, for the comfort level, especially for larger busts, you know, there's definitely a benefit to wearing them. I think it's all an individual choice though.
And I kind of look at it as individual choice and then also as medical, because if you don't wear one of some sort, whether it be a wire, no wire, whichever, that breast tissue is just going to keep stretching. Some people's actually tear away from the chest wall. So, you know, there can be, you know, medical issues of not wearing one. So, which And then in turn, if you're wearing the wrong size in a wired bra, it can cause medical issues. So it kind of goes both ways, and just in, you need to be properly fitted and get that support.
There's also just a lot of joy in wearing a bra, even if you don't need it, even if you don't, you know, need it for medical reasons. It can be a really nice self-expression that you can have just for yourself. That's just, you know, that doesn't have to be a forward-facing public persona. This is something that you're wearing just for you.
Yeah. I mean, we've been talking about, like, the functional side of bras, but this is lingerie. It's some of the most decorative clothing a woman might have in her closet.
Yeah, and, you know, and ultimately, it's for us. It's for you. It's, you know you have it on, even if nobody else knows you have it on, and if it makes you feel pretty, and, you know, that's part of it. And it's just like, you know, oh, I've got this pretty set on, and ooh, don't I feel pretty today? Or, you know, that's part of it, is knowing that you have it on and it makes you feel good about yourself.
Yeah. I mean, Stephanie, that's what you do. You design these pretty sets for people. When you're designing a new collection, where do you draw your inspiration?
So I'm primarily vintage inspired. So it's a lot of mid-century things that I'm pulling from, whether it's, you know, a movie or a photo archive, maybe even just like authentic original pieces from that era. But I also try to pull up from things on both sides of that. So a little bit of 20s, 30s inspiration, a little 60s, 70s. I'm actually working on a collection right now that's a little more 70s-ish inspired. But it can pull from a lot of different places.
What do each of you want listeners to take away from this conversation about bras and lingerie and support?
I think the most important thing is that lingerie is for fun and for support, and it's your friend. It's not there to, it's not just for the bedroom. It doesn't have to be scary. It's it's just something fun and supportive and there to be your friend.
And I also agree with that. It's there to give you support, literally. And it can be pretty as well as functional, and, you know, and don't be afraid of it. Don't be afraid to come in and ask to be fitted, no matter how small, how big, you know, just come in, ask for help, quit, you know, trying to guess, and just, you know, come in and be comfortable in your bra, and, you know, let someone that can, you know, truly fit you correctly, get you fitted in a proper bra, and let it be fun, and let it be lacy and pretty, and make you feel good about yourself and confident in your own self, because that's what it's all about, is making you feel good and confident in your own skin.
That was Adrienne Francis, owner of Rebecca's Lingerie. She was joined by Stephanie Kerr, owner and designer of Dottie's Delights. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having us.
We have to take a short break. When we come back, we'll dive deeper into this idea of support. Join the conversation by tweeting us at This Is Nashville. We'll be right back.
I want you to feel confident in your public radio station. I want you to feel good about yourself. I want you to support properly and thoroughly your public radio station. My name is Zaya Miller. I am in with Lexi Marshall this afternoon. We are listening to a really delightful episode of This Is Nashville right alongside you. It is the spring fundraising campaign. That means it is your turn to make an investment in some high quality support of your public radio station. Give right now at WPLN.org.
Yes, these are sorts of conversations that you can't get just anywhere. We have producers on the This Is Nashville team that are constantly putting together panels of guests, going and gathering tape out in the field, just crafting these stories to bring to you. And there's so much work that goes into it. That work requires dollars. It requires your dollars. This service doesn't exist without your support. So give to it right now at WPLN.org or call 615-760-2010. If you're a big fan of This Is Nashville, if you listen every day, I've got a really great opportunity for you. For $25 a month as a sustaining member, you can come to the station, watch a live recording of This Is Nashville. That is going to be on May 14th. There's a limited quantity of these opportunities available, but if you want to get your hands on a ticket to the Superfan Lunch, it is yours for the price of $25 a month as a sustaining member, and you can know every time that you tune into This Is Nashville that you helped make it happen. You helped put it on the airwaves. WPLN.org is where you can get a ticket to that lunch.
It has been a long week because every week is long. It is Friday. You know that you are ready to relax, to have a wonderful weekend, to wrap up what you're doing, but you need to take some weight off of your shoulders.
Yes.
And the weight you need to take off of your shoulders will happen when you give to the station. It will be like a breath of fresh air, like you can finally relax and know that you are all good to go. Make a gift right now. Go online to WPLN.org. It's going to take you about 90 seconds. So here's what you'll do. Click the Give Now button. Tell us who you are, where you are, how much you would like to give. Perhaps you'll pick up a fantastic thank you gift. That lunch for This Is Nashville would be a great one to choose at $25 a month. Give us your payment information and then click submit. That's it. 90 seconds. You can do this gift to Nashville Public Radio faster than you can get properly measured for your next undergarment. Give at WPLN.org.
We've had people coming in from all over Middle Tennessee. Courtney in Madison, Rick and Susan in Fairview, Charlie and Amanda and Howard in Nashville, and Kelly in Clarksville. Thanks to all of you. We also had Angela in Murfreesboro. She said, I love the content and the journalists. I became a sustaining member several years ago when my baby girl hosted her first fund drive. Since then, if I ever get the chance to hear her supporting the station during fund drive, I am reminded of how much public radio means to our family and give a little extra gift.
That's Angela, Lexi's mom.
It is. It's my mom. I actually converted her to WPLN News. I'm the one who introduced it to her. Help other people get introduced to this service when you give right now at WPLN.org.
I'm Magnolia McKay, filling in for Khalil Ekolona, and this is Nashville. We're talking this hour about boobs, bras, and now we turn to breastfeeding. My older sister has 4 kids, and she breastfed each of them. She got married and had children before most of her peer groups, so being home with her first kids was really lonely for her. That's when she reached out for help. She found support with a national group that has local chapters, La Leche League. Here to share what the Nashville chapter is all about are Juanita Benz, the group's leader, Jill Scott, a longtime participant of the group, and Kendra Sutherland, who joined more recently. Welcome to This Is Nashville.
Thank you for having
us. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for being here. So Juanita, I want to start with you. For our listeners who are unfamiliar, what is La Leche League?
La Leche League is an international group who supports women and breastfeeding and chest feeding all around the world, and specifically here in Nashville as well.
Oh, I haven't heard the term chest feeding before. What is that?
Chest feeding is a term used for people who want to breastfeed, who may have had surgical issues or want to have that experience for themselves.
Okay, cool. So how long has La Leche League been around?
It started in the 1960s with a group of women, I believe from Florida, and I think it was 9 women who started a group just for support for themselves, and then from there it blossomed.
Say more about that.
Well, being a mother like your sister was and having a newborn, especially in these times, is kind of scary to an extent. Am I doing it right? Am I doing it wrong? It really hurts. I need some help. Who can I call? So it started for them as a way to help others prepare and then experience nursing and share how to successfully do breastfeeding and raise their children.
Yeah. And how did you find your way to La Leche League?
I knew that I wanted to breastfeed my children. And when I became pregnant with my firstborn, who is now 18, I looked for a group closest to me and started attending those while I was pregnant with her. And I've never stopped.
Yeah. And how long have you been leading the group?
17 years.
Okay. You've met a lot of breastfeeding parents in that time.
A lot of parents, a lot of siblings, a lot of aunts, a lot of grandparents, a lot of people internationally as well.
Talk to me about the kind of group environment of it.
The group environment is very friendly. We're not there to judge. We're there to help and to share support. And there's nothing like another mother saying, you know, I've had the same experience and I'd like to help you and share with you what happened to me. Maybe this can help.
Yeah. Kendra, I see you nodding along. So you're a newer recruit and a first-time mom.
Yes.
Yeah, congratulations.
Thank you.
Tell us, how did you get involved with the league?
So my mom actually reached out to La Leche League in Southern California, where I was born. And so she told me when I was first having issues with latching and trying to get my daughter to breastfeed, she was like, why don't you just, like, see if there's a group here, like La Leche League? And I said, okay, sure. You know, I was super exhausted. I was like, almost like anything will help at this point. So I reached out to, I think it was someone else in the group, and she got me in contact with Nita. And Nita actually, like, came to my house because I just wasn't at that point where I felt comfortable, like, leaving yet. And she was so understanding. She drove, came to my house, just kind of confirmed like some things that were going on, and she validated what I was going through. And I think honestly, out of everything, that was like the biggest thing, was like just that relief of like, I'm not alone. Like there's other moms, like she's helped other moms go through the same thing. And that is like my favorite thing. And what has been so amazing about La Leche League is like that support from other moms and from Nita is like definitely one of the reasons why I think I'm still able to even breastfeed my daughter now, 18 months later.
Yeah, I mean, that's wild. Like, a perfect stranger coming to your house.
It sounds insane, but, like, she was just so, like, comforting. It literally felt like I already knew Nita for, like, the longest time. Like, I didn't feel, and I will say a sense of, like, I don't want to say modesty, but, like, when you have a baby, there's, like, so many people that come in and, like, see you, so you almost don't, like, I consider myself a very private person, but like at that point I was like, can you please help me? Like this hurts. I don't know if this is normal. And I really, really wanted to be able to breastfeed my daughter.
I mean, both of you are naming that you had the intention to breastfeed already.
Yes.
Say a little bit more about that decision.
So my mom did breastfeed me and my three younger siblings. And so I just remember growing up seeing her breastfeed my siblings. And I thought it was really amazing to be able to know that your body can, like, literally provide food and, like, nutrients for your child. And I also know that it's, like, it's bonding with your child. And so those were all really great things that I wanted to be able to be part of with my child. That's just my personal, that was really what I wanted to do.
Yeah. So, Jill, tell us how you came to be part of the group.
So I didn't have the same experience where I definitely knew I wanted to nurse, and especially long-term. I wanted to try nursing because I knew it was supposed to be better for the baby and for the bonding. And so we started off that way. But what happened with us is that my firstborn ended up having food allergies. And so we discovered this by finding blood in his diaper, which is a very scary experience as a parent.
Scary.
And his allergy was to dairy and soy, which is what most formulas are based on. And they did have like an amino acid prescription blend that supposedly just tastes terrible. And some babies refuse to drink it or until they're desperate and they don't gain weight like they should. And so the doctor that we saw, he encouraged me to think about doing some long-term nursing and what they call an elimination diet, where the allergens that he has, I would eliminate from my diet so they don't get transferred through the breast milk. Mm. So as a new mom who I didn't have extended family. We did not have family friends that had babies. I was the first of my friends, the first of my sisters to have a baby. And so I was not familiar or had even really seen anybody else nurse before. And now I'm looking at possibly having to nurse long term, where I thought I might do it for 6 months and see how it went. Now I'm looking at 1 to 2 years minimum. And I was really overwhelmed. And so being able to go in to a situation where, yeah, you're going to get support, people who they're choosing this and they have their reasons why, which help you feel more validated in your reasons why, it was very encouraging.
I'd like each of you to share a time when someone in the group has really come through for you. Kendra?
Okay, so actually what we're talking about right now with like nutrients and knowing if my baby's getting enough from the breast milk. When my daughter was around 6 months, I can remember calling Nina, like literally, I think I was almost crying, if not crying, because I had just gotten back from my daughter's 6 month appointment with the pediatrician. And now my daughter is very tiny. She's just very petite. And I don't, she may have been weighing like 11 or 12 pounds. She was just that small. But she was born small. And so the pediatrician was like, well, she's not gaining as much as we want her to. And if you had looked at my daughter, like she was chubby, she was just little. And I remember I called Nita and I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. The pediatrician wants me to do formula, which again, you know, if you choose to do formula, that is fine. But I still wanted to continue breastfeeding. I wasn't ready to give up that journey. And so called Nita. And what I loved about Nita is she was like, you're overreacting, first off. And I needed to hear that, like, because I was, the anxiety that you go through, I think, as like a first-time mom, maybe, or like dealing with postpartum. But like, I was like, yes, okay. She's like, your baby's fine. She's healthy. She's meeting milestones. If, you know, you can continue to maybe breastfeed a little bit more, maybe add a couple of more sessions. But she was like, don't give up yet. And again, just hearing that and like her validating my feelings again, even 6 months later, was like just so amazing. So yeah, Nita really came through, and that really helped me with my confidence, because now, you know, my daughter just got done with her 18-month checkup. She's like barely 20 pounds, but she's like thriving. She's just small. And the pediatrician like finally was like, yeah, I guess she's just gonna be little. And I was like, I wanted to tell Nita, I was like, Nita, you were right. Like, but that was just so amazing. She definitely has come through time and time again, always providing articles, facts, and just that support that I need, for sure.
Yeah. Juanita?
I think for me, since I was new to town and newly married, and then I got pregnant, I really didn't know anyone because I didn't have a job. And it just created a group of women and friends that I still cherish. And I love babies. And so for me, getting to help the newborn moms like Kendra, it's just fantastic.
Yeah, I can see you're tearing up. This is like obviously really meaningful work that you're doing.
Yeah, it does make me weepy. I just love babies. I love helping moms, and I hope that they understand that. And the support that we give is free, and you know, anybody can come. So there's no reason why, you know, they shouldn't be there.
Yeah. And Jill, do you have a story about a time when someone from the group really came through for you?
There are so many examples. And like Nita spoke to, we have developed what has turned out to be long-term friendships that I think are probably going to last the rest of our lives. There's a group of us that have been together for 18 years now, and we're getting ready to go celebrate my birthday next week together. And we have seen kids go, we've gone through illnesses and graduations and, you know, upcoming weddings with our children now, and knowing that there are people out there that you can call in the middle of the night that will come pick you up off the side of the road if your motorcycle breaks down, that will meet you at the lake just to go for a walk or just be there to really listen. It's so valuable. And I know that experience won't be the same for everybody, but that kind of support where you feel like people really try to see you and be a part of your life, that came from the bonding we had over, we're all going through the same thing. You want to talk about breaking down barriers. When you are a mom struggling with a baby and all you want to do is be able to feed your baby, it doesn't matter your history, your level of education, how much money you make, what you believe for politics. Most any mother I know, your heart's going to go out to another mother that's struggling with that and you just want to help. So that's been my experience. And the thing I love most, though, about La Leche is they do advocate for breastfeeding, but they do not make you feel like a failure if it doesn't work out for you. They want what is going to be the best situation for every mom and child, even if that is formula. So they're not anti-formula. They're pro-breastfeeding it to the extent that that works for your family. So one of the best sayings from La Leche that I try to apply to other areas of my life is take what you need and leave what you don't. So whatever you hear in those conversations, if it's going to help you, if it's going to strengthen your relationship or give you confidence, or you can use this in some practical way, go ahead and use that. But if someone says something and you disagree with it or it's just not right for your situation, then just leave it behind when you walk out the door.
Yeah, that is a wonderful rubric for anything, truly. I want to thank you all for being here so much. Thank you to my guests, Juanita Benz, who leads Nashville's chapter of La Leche League, and group members Jill Scott and Kendra Sutherland.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And thanks to all of you for tuning in this hour. This is Nashville is a production of Nashville Public Radio. Today's episode was produced by Magnolia McKay. It's me. Board op help from Elizabeth Burton and Khalil Ekolona. Our technical director is Liv Lombardi. Tasha A.F. Lemley is our managing editor. The masterminds behind our theme music are LaRange and Namir Blade. Special thanks to Mary Mancini, to my sister Lindsay Bench, and to Caroline Eggers for recording my bra fitting so I could be hands-free. Listen back at thisisnashville.org or wherever you get good podcasts. The conversation doesn't end here. Tweet us at thisisnashville, find us on Instagram, and tell us what you want from our show by filling out our quick survey online. You can also call and leave us a message at 615-760-2000. This is Nashville. I'm Magnolia McKay, and we'll see you on Monday, everybody. Be excellent to each other, and party on, dudes!